Please stay with us. We'll be back shortly. Welcome back to our special Veterans Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're sitting in today for Andrew and Jack up and at 'em in the morning. The boys will be back fresh and ready to go tomorrow morning. And we're broadcasting live from the Veterans Memorial Community Center at the Invergrove Heights Armory, where the official state program for Minnesota Veterans Day program will begin at 10 a.m. And at 8:30 this morning, it's open to the public. They're going to have breakfast and come on out and see us. You still have time to get here. My co-host for this hour from the Minnesota Army National Guard is Brigadier General John Jensen. He's the Director of Joint Staff. He serves as Primary Assistant to the Adjutant General with overall responsibility and oversight for more than 1,400 full-time employees. And he is now dual-hatted as Deputy Commanding General, United States Army Africa and Southern European Task Force. And we're going to find out what all that means in a moment. But, General, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be here with you on Veterans Day, by the way. Happy Veterans Day. You know, for an Air Force guy, this is quite an expeditionary radio show you got going today. Moved you out of the studio right here on the drill floor in Invergrove Heights. It's great to join you again, my friend.
Tough duty for an Air Force guy, being in the country club and at that cushy studio. Now I'm out here sleeping on the floor with the soldiers and the armory. But we're making it, sir.
Yeah, we are. The coffee's on for all of our listeners that are en route. Coffee's on. It's hot. Everything looks beautiful. We've got the More Than Names banner hanging on the wall. That is impressive. And I understand it's like 25% of the banner. So it's great show out here today. It looks fantastic.
Well, General, it's good to see you again. You've joined us, I think, the last couple of years on our Memorial Day specials.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Now you're here again today, and as I understand it, maybe you can explain this to me. I know that you're in the weekend, you're a general, you're a full-time in your capacity as Director of the Joint Staff, and now you've got some new duties. How do you fit that all in? No sleep, sir?
Well, first of all, I've got three fantastic, understanding bosses. First, my wife, she fully supports all the additional travel I'm doing. Major General Nash, our Adjutant General, he was one of the guys that encouraged me to apply for a position like this, fully knowing that it would take some of my time out of his command. But he was very, very supportive of that. And then Major General Darrell Williams, the Commanding General of U.S. Army Africa, as well, willing to take me on, knowing that I couldn't be there full-time, but being very supportive of our reserve component and our Army National Guard. And so basically what it is, Tom, is we have 12 positions in the Army National Guard. They're called dual-hatted positions. And primarily what that means in my case is I maintain my job with the Minnesota National Guard. And that remains my primary military responsibility as to my duties as the Director of the Joint Staff and the full-time Chief of Staff for General Nash. Now, in my copious free time and spare time, I also work with the U.S. Army Africa Command Team, Major General Williams, as I mentioned, as one of his deputy commanding generals. Currently, the focus of that responsibility is as an exercise director to two very significant large-scale regional exercises in Africa. There's four total. We call it the Accord Exercise Series. I'm responsible for Central Accord and Southern Accord in Gabon and Malawi. And so I kind of oversee those exercises, and we can talk a little bit more about those if you're interested. But yeah, dual-hatted, two jobs, and everything's going well so far.
Getting any sleep these days, sir?
I am, absolutely. You know, trying to fit in all the family stuff as well. It really is an exciting time. In our household with the new assignment. My wife, like I said, was very supportive of this assignment. She's only made one request, and that she gets dibs on all my frequent flyer miles, and so it was a small trade-off.
Well, sir, I hope you can sleep on airplanes.
I do. I you know, I'm an old infantryman. I can sleep anywhere.
All right. Well, that's good training then.
Yeah.
I thought maybe I'd lend my Air Force training to you. Sir, can you tell us what's the mission of the U.S. Army Africa?
Yeah, so each combatant command or geographic combatant command, so when you think CENTCOM, Central Command, or European Command, and Africa Command, they have what we call service component commands. So U.S. Army Africa is the Army Service Component Command to AFRICOM. It's headquartered in Vicenza, Italy. And primarily what they do is they employ Army forces, U.S. Army forces, as partners in the continent of Africa in order to build sustainable capacity, as well as supporting the joint force, U.S. joint forces in Africa, primarily to disrupt transnational threats and promote regional stability. And the primary way that we do that in terms of my role is we build capacity through these training exercises, these large-scale regional training exercises that support the African standby force and the regional standby force. So the African standby force is about a 25,000 soldier element, and then each region, the five regions of Africa, are responsible for a 5,000 soldier brigade. And so what we do is we go in and we assist the leadership and the soldiers of those regional forces to build capacity, capability, professionalism, primarily related towards peacekeeping operations and crisis response, as well as, and we can't ever lose sight of this, we're responsible for building the readiness of the U.S. Army forces as well that are going over there in support of these exercises. So it's just not that we're there giving, we're also receiving training as well in improving and increasing the readiness of our Army forces.
We're speaking with Brigadier General John Jensen from the Minnesota Army National Guard on a special Veterans Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. The boys will be back tomorrow with Up and Adam in the Morning, and we're broadcasting live from the Veterans Memorial Community Center at Inver Grove Heights for that program that's going to happen later this morning. General, this is a beautiful facility here, but it also serves, I believe, as the headquarters for the Minnesota Army National Guard 34th Infantry Division. And when we're talking about U.S. Army Africa, I'm sure a lot of our listeners remember that last year the 34th Infantry Division was preparing for a deployment with regard to Ebola over there.
Yeah.
That must be part of the training that you're referring to in this new position.
Yeah, exactly. General Williams and the USARAF staff, or the Army Africa staff, initially responded to Liberia to help coordinate and synchronize the whole of government approach for the United States government, primarily working with USAID. And then later they were relieved by the 101st Airborne Division. And then the plan was for our 34th Infantry Division, our great Red Bull Division, to backfill the 101st. Good news is our participation was not needed through the U.S. Army Africa staff and the 101st. We were able to respond in a way and coordinate a response there that that helped the Liberians and helped solve that that crisis there. So we did not deploy, but we were ready. And I'll tell you what, Tom, as you know, knowing the 34th Infantry Division, our soldiers and our leaders were very excited about supporting that operation, and somewhat distraught that we didn't get a go, but fully understanding that we weren't needed.
General, two things stuck out to me on that preparation for that deployment. Number one was the 34th Infantry Division commander, Major General Lloyd Holt, gave a speech about what they were going to do and how they were going to train up for it and ready to go. And then I talked to one of the soldiers that was scheduled to be deployed, and I said, what do you think about a deployment because of Ebola? And he stiffened up his back and he says, who's better able, who's better trained, who's better disciplined to go over there and take care of that emergency than soldiers of the Minnesota Army National Guard?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it comes from our dual mission. Our federal mission, our state mission. Our federal mission, obviously, be prepared to defend the United States, defend the U.S. Constitution, and then our state mission, which is to respond to domestic emergencies. And so it really puts us in a great position to respond to something like that. And I have all the confidence in the world in Major General Lloyd Holt and our Red Bulls. We would have done a fantastic job. But I said we weren't needed, but we were prepared to go, and we're always prepared to go.
Sir, over the course of the last 5 years that we've been on the air with Minnesota Military Radio, we've talked about the Norwegian exchange.
Yeah.
We've talked about the Croatia, the things that are going on. And it seems to me that you taking this position gives the Minnesota National Guard some familiarity with the U.S. Army Africa that could be very valuable down the road.
Yes. And that's one of the reasons why I specifically selected Africa when I was looking for one of these positions, in part because of our large African immigrant population that we have here in the Twin Cities, both East African and West African. And I just saw a great nexus there where I could, first of all, contribute to an organization, second of all, contribute to the local community, and then as well as just my own professional development. Because I'll tell you, Tom, I'm going into this position, not that familiar with Africa, had never served on the continent before. Primarily all of my service had been in Southwest Asia and in Europe in terms of overseas service. And so this was an opportunity to develop myself more professionally and give back to the organization in a different way.
General, I think you mentioned there's only 12 positions like this available. Yeah. What an honor for you to be selected for this this position.
Yeah, you know, Tom, and that's really the way I look at it. I've been honored by getting selected for this position, so I'm going to give it my all and the appropriate amount of focus there, and you know, continue to serve my state, my National Guard, but as well as my Army.
General, we've only got a couple of minutes left in this segment. Congratulations on that appointment, by the way. Can we get just a little update on the Minnesota Army and Air National Guard? How are our soldiers and airmen doing, and how's your readiness status, and how's the morale?
Well, the morale's good, Tom, really is. You know, a lot of old soldiers and current soldiers, you know, we've been tracking the budget and how it's going to affect us. We're really excited about the recent appointment of General Milley as the Army Chief of Staff. We really see a great partner there. We really see an opportunity for the reserve component, the Army National Guard as well, becoming full players, full members, full teammates of the U.S. Army. And on the Air Force, you know, our two wings are just doing great things every day. Highest level of readiness across the nation up there in the 148th in Duluth, the 133rd here in Minneapolis, St. Paul. And so things are going real well. Our division is still engaged globally. We just recently had some members that were in Japan preparing for a exercise over there with the First Corps. Called Yamasakura, and so we're engaged globally as well as locally.
General, for the Minnesota Air and Army National Guard overall, I'm sure that there's some retirements every year and there's a little bit of turnover. You're always looking for some good young people to join, and you've had quite a career. What would you tell those young people listening today?
Well, you know, Tom, I initially enlisted in the National Guard for college money. You know, didn't have a lot of money for college. Realized that, you know, living off $5 a week was doable, but it was a constraint. And so the Guard showed me a way to pay for college. But more importantly, what it did is it gave me an opportunity to do things I could never imagine, never vision. The people I've met, the places I've gone, it's truly been a remarkable story. And so I encourage anybody, you know, come take a look, and you never know where it'll take you.
All right, sir, thank you. When we come back, we're going to talk to Senator Amy Klobuchar. We're broadcasting live from the Veterans Memorial Community Center at the Invergrove Heights Armory. This special Veterans Day broadcast is brought to you in part by Federal Premium Ammunition and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this special Veterans Day, Memorial Day, or Veterans Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio from Veterans Memorial Community Center at the Invergrove Heights Armory, the official site of the State of Minnesota Veterans Day program. My co-host this hour has been Brigadier General John Jensen, and we've talked about his new assignments in the Minnesota National Guard. And joining us now for this segment is Senator Amy Klobuchar. Senator, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. Senator, are you there?
Yes, I am. I was listening to the whole show, and there's a little blip there, but I'm so glad to be on and with you this morning. Thanks, Tom.
Senator, I understand you're going to be out here at the Invergrove Heights Armory a little later this morning.
Well, I am. I don't think I've missed it once, and it's such an important ceremony and celebration of our veterans and really memories as well, remembering those we've lost. And, of course, my favorite part is when the band plays and everyone proudly stands up, and it's just something. If anyone can get out there, they should. It's obviously we have a lot of people out there, and we'd love to have you.
Senator, we have Brigadier General John Jensen here with me. He's my co-host for this hour at out here.
I know. Thank
Good morning. Good morning, Senator.
To be on with you. Thank you, General. It's great to be on with you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We look forward to seeing you later this morning.
Yeah.
Senator, what does Veterans Day mean to you?
Well, for me, of course, first, like everyone else, you think of those in your family. My dad actually served during the Korean War, and he was assigned to Germany at the time, and it was sort of the plans getting ready for the Cold War, and he was involved in that. And I still remember when I first started running for office, I didn't even have a bumper sticker yet, and he insisted that he made one himself that said Veterans for Klobuchar so he could put it on his car. And so I think we all, he often thinks about those that trained with him that ended up actually going to Korea, which was a much more dangerous assignment. And so you think of those in your family, and then I think of those Minnesotans who we've lost, the families I've met over the years, those brave veterans that knew they were supposed to get a Purple Heart and never told anyone until they were dying, or maybe their family pursued it later, and they then would find out about the sacrifice that their dad or their grandpa made. You know, they would find out about the shrapnel wounds and everything that they would rarely talk about. So just that humbleness of our veterans, the fact that we have so many that come back and serve in our community in jobs, but also as volunteers, and they've taken that sense of service to our country one step further. It's a wonderful day to honor our veterans. And then, of course, remember, we don't just remember them one day. And I think that's one of those lessons we've learned in the last decade. And we've learned from, you know, the 50th year anniversary of the start of Vietnam, and the way those soldiers were treated when they came home should never, ever happen again.
Senator, this is Brigadier General Jensen. It is a great day. You know, the weather's pretty nice still yet this morning. So anybody that's still coming out to Inver Grove Heights, we've got the More Than Names banner hanging on the wall, or part of it anyway. It's a great scene out here. And I know you talked a little bit about Veterans Day and what it means to you, but for those people who aren't able to make it out with us this morning, could you give us just a couple of your highlights from your remarks that you're going to make out here?
Oh, well, sure. That's so nice. As I said, I'm going to focus a bit on the fact that this is the 50th year anniversary of Vietnam, and talking about how those soldiers were treated, and having gone to Vietnam with Senator McCain and stood in front of that cell where he was held in for over 5 years, that cell where he made the heroic decision to allow others to be released before him, other POWs, because felt it wasn't fair because his dad has been, you know, famous in the Navy, his grandpa as well, and standing there and thinking about what that patriotism meant. So I'll mention that. I'll talk about the fact that we now have realized that you can have disagreements about war, but you don't take them out on the warriors on the front line. And then leading from there of some of the things that we need to do to improve service for our veterans. And we still, as you know, have these backlogs at the VA. We're chipping away at them, but there's so much work that needs to be done. Congressman Klein himself, a heroic veteran, we put together a bill that focuses on the fact that some of these bills have been late from the VA, and that when that happens and they're inordinately late, that our veterans should waive the copay for them. So we're still working on a lot of those issues as they come up. We just got on a letter, 11 of us, looking at those who've been discharged and make sure that they got the services that they needed when they were discharged. So there's just so many things that still have to be done to make sure we show that respect that our veterans deserve.
Senator, we just got about 2 minutes left, but I know the general's got another question for you.
Well, Senator, you talked about respect, and I would just like to thank you for the respect that you're giving our Vietnam veterans here in your comments this morning. As a new veteran, I can tell you that those Vietnam veterans, that Vietnam-era veterans, are our biggest supporters. And they didn't have to be that way when they came back, as you mentioned. Maybe did not get the recognition and the treatment they deserved, but certainly have come out in force and certainly support our current veterans. So, again, I just wanted to thank you for your recognition of those great Americans.
Well, this is the day to thank you, Brigadier General. So thank you for your service. And I do think that I'll never forget being at this one of those Serving the Troops event where they're serving steaks, and Vietnam vet was, he had a tap on, said Vietnam vet, and he was volunteering, and I said, oh, what brings you here? And he says, well, I want to make sure these guys get treated better than I was. We all sacrificed, but being here makes me feel better about my own service. And so I think that's a lot about what Minnesota's been a lot in the last decade under both a Republican and a Democratic governor. We've really tried to change how we treat our veterans, and we've tried to change that out of Washington as well.
Senator, the hall here at the Veterans Memorial Community Center is filling up. They're serving breakfast. A lot of folks seated here.
Oh,
I think we're
going to
have a full house for you this morning.
That sounds better than that yogurt I'm going to have in the car, man. I can get there in time. All right. Well, I look forward to seeing you guys. Thank you so much.
Senator, thanks for joining us this morning. We're broadcasting live from the Veterans Memorial Community Center at Inver Grove Heights, where it's the official program for the State of Minnesota Veterans Day. It'll start at 10 o'clock, and breakfast is on right now. In our next segment, we'll be back with Lieutenant Governor Tina Smith. This special Veterans Day broadcast is brought to you in part by Federal Premium Ammunition and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Please stay with us. We'll be back shortly. Welcome back to our special Veterans Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, sitting in this morning for Andrew and Jack up in Adam. The crew will be back tomorrow morning, fresh and ready to go with their normal schedule. We're broadcasting today from the Veterans Memorial Community Center at Inver Grove Heights, at the site of the Inver Grove Heights Armory. The place is filling up. The program starts at 10 o'clock, and at 8:30 this morning, just a few minutes ago, they started breakfast, and lots of folks here today. It's going to be an exciting program. It's still time to come out, so come on out. My co-host on this hour of the show, the last hour, is Brigadier General John Jensen from the Minnesota Army National Guard, and also now with his position with the U.S. Army Africa. And joining us now is Deputy Commander-in-Chief of Minnesota National Guard, the Lieutenant Governor of Minnesota, Lieutenant Governor Tina Smith. Tina Smith is Minnesota's 48th Lieutenant Governor. Since taking office in January 2015, she has focused on building an economy that works for all Minnesotans, including rural broadband internet access, expanding access to early learning, and supporting statewide job creation. Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, Lieutenant Colonel Smith.
Well, thank you so much. It's wonderful to be with you, and I can hear in the background the sounds of hungry Minnesotans, I think, enjoying their breakfast.
Lieutenant Governor, I think I just inadvertently demoted you to Lieutenant Colonel. Sorry about that. Lieutenant Governor Smith.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be with you, Tom. And also, good morning, General Jensen. How are you?
Yes, I'm doing very well. Thank you. And ma'am, I think the rumbling you hear in the background is actually Tom's stomach. He's been eyeing that breakfast for quite a while.
That, and I'm surrounded by all these officers, ma'am, so that was a slip of the tongue. Lieutenant Governor, can you tell me what you and the governor are doing today on Veterans Day?
Well, I am just pulling up outside of the Richfield STEM School, where we're going to be doing a big Veterans Day celebration. I'm going to be here with Senator Klobuchar, as a matter of fact, which would be really fantastic. And so I'm very much looking forward to it. And the governor is today spending time with his father, who is 87 years old and is not doing well at all, and so he is doing what he ought to be doing, which is celebrating his dad today.
Well, we send him all our best wishes, and hopefully he gets well.
Well, I think I know that the governor will appreciate that very, very much, knowing your good wishes, and thank you. And I wanted to thank you, Tom, for the work that you have done with the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon efforts. It's just fantastic what you've done, so thank you for that.
Well, thank you, ma'am. It's an honor for an old Vietnam veteran NCO to be able to help today's service members and their families and all our veterans, and that's what this is about.
It's so true. I've had the chance to go to quite a few Yellow Ribbon ceremonies, both with local communities and counties and big businesses and small businesses, and that's never anything short of just moving and inspiring to see what people can do when they come together to support our veterans and their families.
Lieutenant Governor, Brigadier General Jensen here. Thank you for mentioning the Yellow Ribbon Network. You know, we're going to our next Yellow Ribbon Proclamation is going to take place actually this evening in Northfield for those people in Northfield and around the area. At 7 p.m. at the Northfield Middle School, we'll be proclaiming Northfield as our newest Yellow Ribbon community. Ma'am, if you could just talk a little bit about how important it is for citizens to get involved in these Yellow Ribbon networks.
Absolutely. What Yellow Ribbon does is it creates a way for communities to come together to support veterans and their families, both while the veterans are away serving, and then also when they come home. I always think that veterans' families are, you know, they serve just as much as the veterans do themselves in so many ways. And so, for example, if, you know, what the community can do while somebody is serving, you know, like, for example, right now, the folks that are serving in Kuwait, the Yellow Ribbon communities come together to make sure that the veteran, that the people who are serving, their families, their wives, their children, their moms and dads, if they need a little help here or there, that the community is there to support them. And then when our military members come home, the Yellow Ribbon community is there to help make sure that they get reconnected back into the community, that they can find their, they can find jobs, if they need help getting additional training, getting their resume in shape, and helping them integrate back into the community. And it's just such a sign of, I think, respect and love for the work that that Minnesotans are doing serving our country.
Ma'am, I think the Yellow Ribbon communities, the network is huge, but even providing just a service like mowing the lawn, shoveling the snow, maybe visiting a spouse of a deployed service member, yeah. Just to help them get through those deployments, the Yellow Ribbon communities have done so much.
Such a great point, General. There, sometimes it's the small things as well as the big things that make such a difference to people when they're feeling maybe a little bit overwhelmed by the scope of what's going on.
Yes, and thank you for mentioning our unit that's deployed to Kuwait. That's the 682nd Engineer Battalion headquarters out of Wilmer, just recently deployed. And so, for all those family members and members of that unit, I just want to. Send our best wishes on behalf of Major General Mash and the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
We're speaking with Lieutenant Governor Tina Smith on a special Veterans Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio, live from the Veterans Memorial Community Center on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Go ahead.
And it was so amazing that school auditorium was just filled up with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of family members, and then just people from the community wanted to be there to show their support. And I love being able to be there and be a part of it. General Jensen said, 150 soldiers that went off to Fort Bliss, and I don't know, are they in Kuwait yet, General Jensen?
They're on their way. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Lieutenant Governor, I know that the Dayton administration is focused on those who are underserved, including homeless veterans. As you know, the Minnesota mayors are inviting landlords to come forward to inform them of state incentives on renting to our homeless veterans. What would you tell our Minnesota landlords that are considering renting to homeless veterans?
Well, I would tell them, first of all, that Minnesota homeless veterans are going to be great tenants, and that they are very smart to go out of their way to rent to our homeless veterans. And I would also say that we have had a state goal of ending homelessness amongst our veterans. It has been an effort that we've worked on across the board with all of our state agencies, and we've seen a 50% decrease in homelessness amongst our veterans just since 2010. And this is due in large part to the work of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and our housing department and all of the work that we've also done with local governments. And so, if you are a landlord and you're considering renting to a homeless veteran and you want a little bit more information, I would suggest that you go to www.minnesotaveterans.org and you can find out more information about how to get involved.
Ma'am, the Veterans Memorial Community Center here in Invergrove Heights is filling up. You're going to have a great crowd today. I'm just wondering, and a lot of those folks listening, you've still got a little over an hour to get here, and they're still serving breakfast. What are you going to tell the audience here today, ma'am?
Well, you know, what I'm going to tell them is, what I'm going to do, first of all, is just thank the veterans in the room. And I think it's also important to remember that Veterans Day, you know, Veterans Day dates back to the old Armistice Day, the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. And remember that it is a tribute to all of our veterans, both living and past, and thanking them for their service, not only in war, but also in peacetime. And this, I think, is a good reminder that Minnesota's military families also serve in peacetime, most recently helping to fight Ebola in Africa. So the scope of the service that our Minnesota service members have provided is just really inspiring.
I think, absolutely, Lieutenant Governor, I think you make a great point. Veterans Day is about all of our veterans who have served, not just combat veterans, and so it's all of our veterans that have served, as well as their families, keeping those special people in our thoughts as well, because I know in my case, and in most of our cases, we're able to serve because of the support that we get from our families. And our families are able to do what they do in a large part because of the great support they get from the Minnesota community.
Right. Yeah, it's so true. And I think that as Minnesotans, we can be so proud that we have always served out of proportion to our relatively small numbers. I mean, even dating back to the Civil War, we're at the 150th anniversary of the Civil War, which is when the Minnesota 1st Regiment went off. And it's something I'm very proud of.
Lieutenant Governor, I think there's the hall is filling up. There's a lot of people here looking forward to your speech today, and I'd like to thank you for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you so much, Tom, and thank you so much, General Jensen, and I look forward to seeing you all soon.
Thank you, ma'am.
That was Lieutenant Governor Tina Smith on the special Veterans Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio. This special Veterans Day broadcast is brought to you in part by Federal Premium Ammunition and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the special Veterans Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been sitting in for Andrew and Jack today, and we're broadcasting live from the Veterans Memorial Community Center in Inver Grove Heights. We just had a couple interviews with Senator Amy Klobuchar and Lieutenant Governor Tina Smith, and I misspoke there. The governor is not available to attend today, and I thought the lieutenant governor would be here to give the keynote address, but she's at some other locations. The remarks today will be by Brigadier General John Jensen, who's here with us right now, Senator Amy Klobuchar, and some letters from Al Franken and John Klein. The hall is filling up. They're still serving breakfast. General, this is getting kind of exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. As you mentioned, the hall is getting filled up. It really is. Breakfast is still on. The coffee is still hot. So if you're out there listening to the show and you're close to Inver Grove Heights, please stop in and see us. It's going to be a great presentation today, I believe.
General, we've got a couple of things I want to mention before we run out of time here, which is just in a few minutes. But most of your soldiers and airmen know that there's an organization called the Minnesota Military Appreciation Fund, which has gone out and raised some money, and they provide grants to your soldiers and airmen that have been deployed overseas, which has been many, many times since September 11th, 2001. And since the soldiers and airmen that since 2005 or so have pretty well stepped up and claimed those grants, but the early ones, before the MMAF was in existence, like from 2001 to 2005, are eligible for those grants. And they're having a hard time reaching them.
Okay.
So we want to get the word out to all your soldiers and airmen that may have deployed early that all they have to do is go to mmaf.org. That's mmaf.org. And they can get a grant, and that's available to those who have served in a combat zone since 9/11/2001.
Yeah, just another great example, Tom, about how Minnesotans are out there to help Minnesotans. We don't look to the federal government or the state government to solve all of our problems. We have our neighbors and our communities that are right out there standing next to us, just looking for ways to help and assist our families and our service members. So as you mentioned, those service members who may not have taken advantage of that, please go to that website. Tom, if you can give it to us one more time, I believe it's mmaf.org.
MMAF.org. That's correct, sir.
Yep, very good. So I just encourage everybody to go there to that website and take a look at that and see if you're eligible.
General, as we're closing up today, I thought it appropriate. This is Veterans Day, and we're thoughts about all veterans, not just those who have died. And when you take an oath in office and you sign up, you raise your hand and you go, and you've administered this oath many times, it's for an indefinite period. There's no duration defined. And I just wanted to share this with those that may not have served. The oath is, I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me, according to the regulations and the Uniform Code of Military Justice, so help me God. Sir, you've, I'm sure, administered that oath, and our soldiers, not only when they're in, but when they're out and they're veterans, they're still serving, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, we mentioned that a little bit with Senator Klobuchar earlier this morning about our veterans serving our new veterans. And, as I talk to the soldiers and airmen in our force today, that's the one thing I remind them about, how we have an obligation to model what our Vietnam veterans have done for us, and that is recognize, acknowledge, and support future generations of veterans. Whether they're combat veterans or not combat veterans, it doesn't matter, because, parts of that take that this obligation freely, and we do. Nobody's forced to serve. We all join our service freely, and it's important that we continue to support our veterans.
General, thanks for joining us this morning, and
thanks,
good luck,
Tom,
in your new assignment.
Yes, thank you very much, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here with you. And just to give you a quick shout-out, I think you're approaching soon to be 300 shows. I hope to be a part of show number 300, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. And thanks to Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, for allowing us to put on this special Veterans Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio from the Emery Grove Heights Armory. Still time to get out here. And this special Veterans Day broadcast has been brought to you in part by Federal Premium Ammunition.